Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today we're going to continue to examine what Jude taught about how to win souls in an age of apostasy. So let's read Jude verses 22 and 23 again together. And have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now, many of you have written or called and asked how you can reach your loved ones who have gone into a cult or who are deceived by false teaching, and you're very dismayed that people that you love are carried about on the winds of these clouds without water, these wandering stars, these brute beasts who creep into the church to deceive the simple. Well, in these two verses, Jude gives us God's answer, and we have already studied the first way that Jude gave us by using compassion, and today, as I mentioned on the last broadcast, we're going to begin to look at the second way that Jude said that we're going to deliver people out of false teaching. In verse 22, Jude said that some of those who are led astray, compassion will work for them. So since genuine compassion is a divine tool to use in the deliverance of a wayward soul, it is important that we study just what compassion is and what compassion is not. And if you miss those teachings, let me know and I'll try to get you a copy. Now, in verse 23, Jude writes to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and says that we need to use another tactic to rescue deceived souls. So let's read verse 23 again. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now, this part of Jude is quite interesting because there are several aspects of this verse that we need to be made aware of. Jude clearly tells us here that we are to utilize fear with some people who have been deceived through false teaching. And the reason that Jude tells us to use both compassion and fear is that people are different. Compassion may work just fine with those who are of a gentle spirit and who can be easily led, but all people are not gentle, and some people need more desperate means to deliver them from the horror of deception. But in order to reach those people who have been led astray correctly, we must understand just what this fear that Jude mentions here is, and we are also to understand how to use it. And I want all of us to understand that fear is to be on both ends. We are to use fear, and we are to operate in fear. Now, I realize that right off the bat, many of you are saying that this can't be right because Jesus would never want any of us to ever use fear. It is commonly thought today that using fear is unloving and unkind and even unchristian, but that's simply not true. According to my own research, it has been in my lifetime that godly fear is no longer being employed by the Christian church to correct wayward thinking. So this means that for over 1,800 years, the Christian church employed godly fear as a very effective tool in delivering souls from deception. Now, when I was first saved in the summer of 1971, I was told over and over that God doesn't want anybody to be afraid of him. That was drilled into my head so much that not only did I believe it, but I began to study about just what fear was. The word that was translated into English here in verse 23 of Jude comes from the Greek word which means that which strikes terror, dread, or fright into the heart. But this word also means to have godly reverence and holy respect. So this word has the connotation that correct godly reverence, a proper respect for that which is holy, linked or combined with that which strikes terror into the heart, can and does modify the behavior of human beings. So we can see that when Jude was writing this epistle, he was not just using words that sounded good, but this man was operating under certain assumptions that we need to explore if we're going to get the full meaning of what Jude was saying here. First of all, we have to realize that the abundance with which a person can sin with abandon is directly proportional to how much he fears God. In other words, where no godly fear exists, sin abounds. Today's sin that was done in secret is now done in public. Things are proudly said and publicly performed today that people would have been afraid to do just 50 years ago. Now, why is that? Why has evil and wicked people become so bold in our day? How is it that people sin and yet not be convicted of that sin? How is it possible that we can have so many who attend church every week and yet who live in direct opposition to the Word of God? What was once done in secret is now done in broad daylight on the street corner. Beloved, if we are to understand just why sin has exploded on the scene in our day, we can look no further than this. People no longer fear God because we have exchanged the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which emphasized God's holiness, for bubblegum feel-good pop psychology, which emphasizes the felt needs of man. And because we've done that, we've lost the fear of God. And with that loss of fear is an exponential increase in sin in our lives, in the church, in our families, and in the culture. So let's look at fear and see if fear is from God or the devil. And let's see if fear is a very effective tool to use to deliver souls out of the hands of false teachers. And I want to begin this study by reading some passages from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1, 22 through 29 says, "How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes, like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distresses and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." So we can see here that those who hate knowledge are the very people who do not know or love or apply the fear of the Lord. Now, look what the wisest man in all the world wrote about godly fear in Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 5. "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God." Now, from this passage, we can see that not everybody is going to have the fear of the Lord in their lives. Only those who receive God's word, those who treasure God's commandments within them, only those who make their ear attentive to wisdom, those who incline their heart to understanding, those who for discernment, those who lift their voice for understanding. The Bible says here that the only people who will have the fear of the Lord in their lives are those who seek for it to the same degree that the lost world seeks after silver and as the world searches for hidden treasure. Solomon said that only these people will ever know the fear of the Lord. Now look what he wrote as God the Holy Spirit moved upon him to write Proverbs 8, verse 13. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate." So the Holy Bible says here that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil and to hate pride and to hate human arrogance, which is defined as the evil way and the perverted mouth. Now, to hate something is to despise it and to refrain from it. So in this passage, we can see that those who fear the Lord change the way they live so that they refrain themselves from evil, pride, arrogance, and from walking in the way of evil men, and they do not speak wicked things. So the only conclusion that we can arrive here is that those who do not hate evil, those who enjoy and who promote evil, those who do not hate pride but who walk in pride, those who do not hate arrogance but who walk in arrogance, those who walk on the broad road with evil men, and those who boldly speak wicked things are those people who do not have within themselves the fear of God. Now look at Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now Solomon tells us here that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and with this truth we can assume two things. Firstly, we can surely say that those who fear God will not only begin to learn wisdom, but will persevere on into it. And secondly, we can also assume that those who do not fear God do not possess even the beginnings of true wisdom, which means they're foolish in a moral sense of the word. Now look at Proverbs 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Here we see that godly fear prolongs days, because many of the evil and sinful things which would cause our lives to be quickly snuffed out will not be engaged in by those who fear God. Now look at Proverbs 14, verses 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. So the Bible says here that inside godly fear resides holy confidence rather than human arrogance. And the reason that this godly fear is a fountain of life is precisely because godly fear modifies our behavior so that we do not engage in sin so easily and so carelessly. Now look at Proverbs 15, verse 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. Now this verse tells us that the fear of God brings forth contentment and satisfaction, which is also the foundation of thankfulness. So we can assume that those who are not content, those who are not satisfied with what God has already chosen to provide for them, those who are not thankful for God's gracious provision, but who have been deceived by the false teachers to become grumblers and complainers, are those who have no fear of God. Now look at Proverbs 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. Again, from this verse, we can see that those who have no fear of God are not instructed in wisdom, and that true honor follows behind biblical humility. Now read Proverbs 16, verse 6. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord one keeps away from evil. This verse clearly states that by the tool of godly fear, men actually do depart from evil. So it is true that fear causes us not to sin so much or so easily. So I don't know what you've been taught about fear, dear friends, but God's holy word says that godly fear is probably the very best thing that any of us could ever have. And so I would suggest to all of us that we pray earnestly for a great revival in our day. Not a revival of hooting and hollering and jumping up and down and falling on the floor, but a revival of the fear of the Lord. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue to explore the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.